Hi, I'm Doug Keck, and welcome to The Catholic Sphere. You know, each week we bring you a distinguished panel of theologians and experts to discuss topics important to Catholics around the globe. This week we are asking the question, deacons or deaconesses, are they the same or are they different? Joining us today, we have EWTN Theology Advisor, Father Deacon Robert Klesko. He joins us from our radio studio. We have also the host of EWTN Radio's Beacon of Truth, known as the Dynamic Deacon, Deacon Hal Burke-Sivers. And he joins us from Oregon. And finally, EWTN's Vice President of Theology, Colin Donovan. He is in our theology studio once again joining us. Welcome, gentlemen. Thanks for making the time to join us here on The Catholic Sphere. So, Colin, let me ask you, you know, we know about deacons and we hear about deaconesses. And the question is, for you, you know, in the world we live in today, I mean, opportunities for women have increased inside the church, obviously. The Pope has made it even so certain positions in Rome can now be filled by women. What's wrong with having deaconesses?
Well, it's certainly a question that keeps getting asked. There's no question about that. Back in, first in the 60s with Paul VI, and then in the 90s, the early 90s with John Paul II, the popes have made it clear that women cannot be ordained to the priesthood. This was a, you know, a post-Vatican II effort to say, well, women should be ordained to the priesthood, and the pope said no to that. But at the same time, he also opened up what was called the ministries to acolyte and lector to women, sort of as a way of distinguishing between holy orders and orders instituted by the church herself. And so there have been again and again the question, well, what about deacons? Is this not something that distinct from the priesthood and the bishopric that can be, women could be ordained to that? And so beginning in the 1990s, these questions were being asked, and there have been at least three commissions established by the Pope, 1992 to 99, which studied the question, again in 2016 to 2019, and again between 20 and 2022, all concluding that there is no equivalent of a female diaconate in Scripture or in tradition. But yet, the question keeps getting asked, and recently one of the princes of the church even suggested, well, what if we made the diaconate sort of like a more of a lay ministry than a holy order, or treat it as such, I think, at least. And so we're dealing with this again. So we wanted to bring some historical light and theological truth into the question, hence the topic of the program today.
Right, absolutely. Let me ask you, Deacon Harold, as a deacon, you know, somebody would say the same thing, kind of like, well, you're a deacon, and there's room on the deacon's bench for deaconesses. Women do wonderful work inside the church, and, you know, we're not talking about a transitional deacon on the way to the priesthood. We're talking about a permanent deacon, and, you know, who really started to show up, again, as I recall, in the 70s, basically, and we've seen more and more that over the years. And so the question is, why is there a difference? Why is that an issue for the church?
Yeah, and Colin brings up a very important point. There are people in the church today that are talking about separating the diaconate from the hierarchy of holy orders. Mm-hmm. So what they're saying is that they're not going to make the diaconate no longer part of holy orders. They want to remove it from the hierarchy of holy orders. So, in other words, you have bishops and priests, and then in a separate category, you have deacons. Again, not part of the hierarchy. And the problem with that is, it's like, in a sense, trying to separate the Trinity. And the reason why they want to separate it is they want to ordain women as deacons. So if they put it over to the side as not part of the hierarchy, then, as Colin stated, there's no danger, quote unquote, of them becoming a priest. So that discussion will be, you know, over, and it'll just be deaconesses. The problem is, in the Latin Church, we've never had ordained women as deaconesses. You know, the issue before was, if, for example, if you look in the Constitutiones Apostolorum, it states clearly that the deaconesses should not have liturgical functions. They should devote themselves to the function and the service of women, mm-hmm. And they act as an intermediary with the bishop, again, dealing with women's issues. And they represent the Holy Spirit in that regard, but they have, quote, nothing to do, they do nothing without the deacon, mm-hmm. right? And so St. Paul does mention deaconesses in his letters, including mm-hmm. specifically Phoebe by name. Right. But again, in the Latin church in the West, there were no, quote, ordained ministry of deaconesses. And so since we hadn't had it before, there's really no reason to be discussing it now. I mean, let's just be real here. Young people aren't leaving the church because of Mother Earth dying or because of, deaconesses, no deaconesses in the church. They're leaving because they don't know Jesus and his love. Mm-hmm. And that's what we should be focusing on.
Well, let me ask you, Father Deacon Robert, let me ask you, talking from your tradition, where do deaconesses fall even in historically in the church?
Sure. Well, first of all, it should be made clear that deaconesses never existed in the West. They only ever existed in the East. Mm-hmm. Now, in the East, historically, the way that the church was set up was much more segregated, right? Men and women sat in different sections. Men could not minister to women on their own. There were concerns about propriety and preserving modesty. In the East, for example, adult baptisms were done in the nude. So what do you do when you have an adult female receiving baptism, right? There was a need for an intermediary, right? The deaconess, who could preserve the modesty of the adult convert and also not cause scandal to the bishop or priest performing the baptism. So there was a real need for women to minister to women, and that's where deaconesses came. Deaconesses received a commission from the church. It was never through the laying on of hands. So it was very clear that this was a specific ministry aimed at women. Like I said, never existed in the West. And really, we have to ask the question now, right, what role would a deaconess serve even in the Eastern churches? Mm-hmm. We no longer do baptisms in the nude, right? There's a protection of modesty and propriety there. We live in a society and a culture where men frequently minister to women without scandal. So what's the moral need that deaconesses would serve in a church nowadays? I don't think there is one.
Well, Colin, let me ask you, because what the two deacons have kind of talked about also, and the idea of ordination, some might say, well, part of this is, at least for some people, is kind of a backdoor that if we can kind of get women into the diaconate, it kind of the slippery slope into ordination, which ultimately might down the road lead to priesthood.
Yeah, I think certainly in the minds of many, it is precisely that. We've already dealt over the decades with like the Women's Ordination Conference and other groups that were politicking, if you will, within the church in order to have women admitted to holy orders. The trouble is, and it's sort of interesting in a historical context, that in recent months we've had the institution of Cardinal Newman as the individual who is the patron saint of Catholic education. And he is known for his writings on the theological development of teachings of the church. And he was doing it by contrasting it with the Anglican church. And so if you follow the principles that Newman talks about, a theological development, you can really only come to this conclusion out of Scripture, out of the fathers, out of the practices of the church up to our day, that bishops, priests, and deacons constitute a holy order received by the laying on of hands and the particulars of each of those orders that distinguish them, mm-hmm. whereas things like exorcist, porter, lector, acolyte, and deaconesses, where they existed, are an ecclesiastical institution created by the church. So yes, the church could theoretically reinstitute the use of deaconesses both in the East and in the West, but I think Deacon Robert asked the right question. Mm-hmm. What is the real need here? Is it only this to get this political wedge to the ordination of women to holy orders? Mm-hmm. And I believe that it is.
Right. Deacon Harold, to follow up on that, too, I wonder with some of these things, we live in a world where we keep talking about clericalism and we need the, you know, Vatican II was about the lay people and getting involved with their faith and actually going out into the public and into the public square, not necessarily crowding around the altar. But it's kind of funny in a sense because it seems like, well, there's people out there say, well, I want a title, too. I need to get my title. And I don't want to downplay those people who are, you know, very serious and faith-filled exactly in this endeavor. But there are people out there, we almost feel like it's like, well, I need to have this title. It's kind of like years ago, the lay ecclesial ministers. It's kind of like, well, I thought we're all the same, a priesthood of all believers outside of those ordained. So what's the need for this title?
Well, there isn't. Let's take a look at why Jesus established a threefold hierarchy of orders. Okay, so we have to go back, look in the Bible. So prior to the golden calf incident in the book of Exodus, the priesthood was familial. It was part of a family. It's called the Melchizedekian priesthood. So there was the grandfather who was the high priest, the father who was the priest, and then his sons were the servants, right? They weren't the priests and they weren't the high priest, but they were assisting their grandfather and father in the ministry. Now, after the golden calf incident, you know, it was the Levites who rose up. So you had the 12 tribes of Israel. Then you had a 13th tribe, which is the tribe of Levi, which exercised the priestly ministry. So you had the high priest, then you had the priest, and then you had the Levites. Right, the Levites. So people say, because sometimes they get confused. But remember, in the Good Samaritan parable, when the Jewish man was robbed and laying on the side of the road, who walked by him first? The priest, and then the next person walked by him was the Levite. Mm-hmm. Right. So those were the deacons. We can see that in Numbers chapter 18. Now Jesus says, "I have not come to abolish the law and the prophets, but to fulfill them." So, of course, Jesus, knowing about the Melchizedekian priesthood, which was familial, and then the Levitical priesthood, which was, in a sense, clerical, mm-hmm. Jesus combines both of those in the hierarchical priesthood. So he establishes bishops, priests, and deacons, mm-hmm. you know, in order to serve the church. Remember, Genesis chapter 2, it says, "The Lord God put man in the garden to till and to keep it." Abad and Shamar in Hebrew means to serve, protect, and defend. Mm-hmm. And so, and what is to be served, protect, and defend is the church. So this threefold hierarchy of orders, bishops, priests, and deacons, are to serve the church ministerially, you know, protect the very heart of love, which was what women are. Mm-hmm. So our job is to surround and protect that in a sense, the representative of that inner life of God. You know, which is what women are. Think of it. The Blessed Virgin Mary was not a priest or a deacon. If Jesus was going to make any women priests or deacons, why not? Those who were closest to him, Mary Magdalene, his own mother, the Blessed Virgin Mary, who was the first monstrance, mm-hmm. right? The first vessel that held in her womb the body, blood, soul, divinity of Jesus. None of them were deacons. But the great deacon saints that mentioned in the Roman canon, Felicity, Perpetua, Agatha, Lucy, Agnes, Cecilia, Anastasia, these women died rather than deny Jesus, yet they were not ministers in the church. Mm-hmm. So we have to understand that for us as Catholics, it's not about titles. It's not a secular society where, you know, you're CEO or anything like that. Mm-hmm. No, it's about the how we function in the church, in the service of the church. And so these men, we're fathers, we're protectors, we're defenders, mm-hmm. and we're protecting that beautiful inner life of the church, that beautiful heart of God, which is what women represent.
Right. Now, Deacon Klesko, Deacon Robert, you talk about in the East about having them, but and not having them at all in the West, and that there were some monasteries that had some that maybe had some liturgical function or something. Please explain.
Yeah. So in the East, the requirement to become a deaconess was you had to be a woman of advanced age, usually a widow, also no care of children at home. And the deaconesses lived a quasi-monastic life. For all intents and purposes, these women were monastics, right? They gathered together, they had a common life of prayer, and then they would go out into the community to minister to women, right? That is not the conversation that the proponents of deaconesses is having today, right? We're not talking about a quasi-monastic institution, right? They're talking about a ministry on par with male deacons, right? And a liturgical role, which historically they never had. And to follow up on something important that Deacon Harold had mentioned, because he was talking all about the unity of the sacrament of holy orders, right? It's Catholic theology that, you know, there's one high priest, and that's Jesus Christ. And the church has divided that ministry of the high priesthood of Jesus Christ into three orders: the episcopacy, the presbyterate, and the diaconate. But each of those roles serves as an image of Jesus Christ, right? We read in St. John's Gospel how our Lord at the Last Supper took a towel and tied it around his waist and washed the feet of his disciples. That's a diaconal function, right? That is Christ the servant, right? And modern deacons, the modern male diaconate, right, as a ministry that is configured to Christ the servant, right? Any man who's ordained a deacon is configured by the grace of holy orders to Christ the servant, right? And that role of the deacon to serve the needs of the church, but empowered through the sacrament of orders, mm-hmm. right? I think we really, as a church, have to have this conversation on, you know, strengthening our theology and understanding of the unity of the sacrament of holy orders. And deaconesses is not part of that conversation.
Right. Colin, let me ask you, you kind of brought up Newman and the idea as well of the, you know, kind of, we always think about, you know, the development of doctrine and this kind of idea, and people look at this and say, well, we're encountering new understandings. It's not that we're changing anything, we're just viewing it slightly differently in a view from the 21st century. And that's why we're a little more enlightened on these things. And so it's not really changing anything. It's just understanding it better.
Yeah, that's such a mistaken view. You know, I think Deacon Harold has made it a very important point when he showed the unity of the Old Testament hierarchy with the New Testament hierarchy. See, the church is operating, and this was Newman's point as well, based on the foreshadowing of the old as the fathers would say that the Old Testament contains the new within it, and the New Testament contains the fulfillment and realization of the old. So those foreshadowings in the three orders of the Mosaic covenant priesthood are clearly represented in the church today, and it's always been understood that way. That's the most important thing. And I think, too, along that same line, there was a very interesting point, and this goes along with the idea of the deaconesses in the East and their service role, and even in the New Testament as well, we see how they were instituted by the apostles, who are capable of divine revelation, by the way. This is why we look to the apostolic tradition as representing what was taught universally by all, and nobody contradicted in the ancient world among the right, those who wrote down things they were passing on. So when you look to that, what can you conclude? Within a couple weeks, I think, of being elected pope, it was time for the Union of Women Religious to meet in Rome, all the superiors to go there, and of course the newly elected Pope Francis. This is, I think, one of his earlier audiences. And the question was asked about deaconesses. And he looked at the room and he said, I think of all of you as fulfilling the role of deaconesses. He was talking to women religious who have carried on in the church since the early centuries, whether religious by name, such as maybe in the early church where, no, they sort of lived monastically, but they didn't have the name of monks, of women religious specifically, or in fact, as in the modern world, where women religious are a large part of the Catholic Church's service to others. Mm-hmm. This is the perfect deaconess role. They have the role without the title. So seeking the title doesn't make a lot of sense except as a, you know, sort of, I don't know, appreciation from the church, but I think they have the appreciation of the church. There's not a child taught by sisters or served by them in hospitals or receiving, you know, food and clothing from them at a charity center that doesn't appreciate the role that Catholic nuns and sisters in general play within the church. Those are our religious today, those are our deaconesses today, as Pope Francis, I think, rightly noted.
Well, I would say, just going back to you on that as well, I mean, is that what we're supposed to be doing these things for? We do them so we can be given titles, we can be congratulated, or are we supposed to do them because they're the right thing to do?
Well, I think women religious give us the right mind. They do it to serve the Lord, to maintain a spousal relationship with the Lord, to grow closer to Him, and to serve Him in other people, mm-hmm. and to serve His children and brothers and sisters, if you will, children of the Father and brothers and sisters of their spouse. Mm-hmm. And that's the attitude that should be brought to such things.
So, Deacon Harold, you mentioned in your notes about a 2015 essay by Sister Sarah Butler called Women as Deaconesses. Why did you bring that up?
Well, Sister Butler, in that wonderful essay, makes a clear distinction between the diaconal grades of orders and the separate order and mission held by women, which Colin Donovan so just beautifully stated. He nailed it. I mean, I can't say it any better than that. So what she was doing in a more academic way was talking about exactly what Colin Donovan just stated so wonderfully, that we don't need the titles, you know. And think about it, it's not really a title, because me and Father Deacon Klesko, we will be deacons in heaven. Well, of course, we're going to be serving very differently. Why? Because holy orders is one of the three sacraments that leave that indelible mark on the soul, that sacred character. You know, baptism, confirmation, and holy orders. That doesn't mean that we're better than anybody else, that we're better than women, and somehow we're going to get a higher place in heaven. No, we will be baptized, confirmed, and ordained in heaven, but we're going to be exercising that ministry in a very, very different way. You know, so again, I love the fact that we're having this conversation. It's an important conversation to have so that we can see that the church is, you know, not degrading or putting women down, but we have to, see this as a function of Jesus establishing this threefold hierarchy as a way of serving, protecting, and defending Holy Mother Church.
I was going to say, sometimes I think people are a little confused over, well, I thought a sister is some special, you know, women religious, they're not ordained, so how are they different than lay people?
Well, they're consecrated to God, as Father Deacon Klesko mentioned before.
Okay.
You know, they're consecrated to God and to the work and the mission of the church. And in a sense, they're representing the bride of Christ on earth, mm-hmm. just like the priest represents. He's an in persona Christi here who represents Christ. I think about this when I think about Revelation 19, verse 9. Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb, where in heaven, Christ, the eternal bridegroom, will be giving love, life, intimacy, and communion to his bride, the church, forever in heaven. Well, the priest represents that on Christ on earth in that marital relationship. And the women, especially the religious, represent that consecrated, beautiful witness, that bride of Christ, which is why they wear their veils, right? The habit's like a wedding gown, such a beautiful image of an anticipation of the eternal glory we will all be experiencing in heaven.
So let me ask you, Deacon Robert, on an issue just related to kind of the East. So it seems like we hear about this more, obviously, with the Holy Father, the Roman Rite, et cetera. Is this an issue in the East as well?
It's certainly something that's being discussed, mm-hmm. especially among the Eastern Catholic Church's Orthodox counterparts. I know that in the Patriarchate of Alexandria, of the Orthodox Church there, they had a few deaconesses who were, quote unquote, ordained. So this is an issue that they're facing. I don't think they're doing a very good job in terms of actually, you know, being faithful to the historical testimony of deaconesses. you know, they're under tremendous pressure from kind of more liberal factions within the Orthodox Church to make this ministry widely accepted. Mm-hmm. But among our Orthodox counterparts, among my Orthodox friends, they know that this is a conversation. It's an innovation, right? They're not being faithful to their own Orthodox tradition. They're innovating and kind of, you know, inventing this modern role that's on par with male deacons, and they just don't have the theological grounding for it. Among the Eastern Catholic churches, this is a discussion that we're frankly not having, because it's not an issue. I mean, our issue is we need to keep our churches open. We need to be catechizing people, evangelizing, bringing them in. And what Deacon Harold said at the outset of the show, bringing people an encounter with the love of Jesus Christ, right? So this issue of the deaconesses is really serving as a distraction to authentic catechesis and evangelization.
Colin, in the last 2 minutes here, you can wrap things up and maybe speak to people out there, even women watching who are, you know, don't quite understand the issue as being anything besides, as we started off, kind of like why fairness.
Mm-hmm. Well, justice means, first of all, that you have something by right. And each of us as human beings have our infinite dignity, as the Church tells us. We're made in the image and likeness of God. We reflect, of course, His truth and goodness according to the degree we correspond to that truth and goodness. But yet we are made in that image and likeness. And so, but other things come usually because God has given a particular gift. And the holy orders are gifts. You're not called directly by God. You experience a call. The Church makes a judgment whether that call is legitimate. The Church is saying, well, among men even, for some, I'm sorry, your vocational call is illegitimate and your seminary formation is being discontinued. It's saying it in general for women, that women are not called to holy orders. And I don't see how what Paul VI said in the 60s and John Paul in the 90s, that women are not called to the priesthood, to that holy order, is any different in the case of deaconesses. And I think it's important that just as all men must strive and imitate Christ, not just in His holiness and so on, but perhaps also in His manliness, we could even say, women have a beautiful image to imitate in Our Lady. And both deacons have said that this image of the bride is a wonderful one. And we men can't claim that image as perfectly as they can. And I think that's something to rejoice in, that's something to glory in, and for that you don't need a title other than woman. And anybody who wants to read on that subject should read the books of Alice von Hildebrand, who writes so beautifully on the nature of woman and the call of woman to her role in the life of the human race and the life of the Church.
Absolutely. Great recommendation. Thank you again, Father Deacon Robert Klesko, Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers, and of course, Colin Donovan, for being with us today. And of course, we thank you all for joining us. And don't forget to join us next time right here on the Catholic Sphere for another topic. See you then.